burden on Colton as a consultant?
No, I didn't.
Is that something?
The thought was, well, it's a consultant without doing any consulting. He wants it for continued protection on.
Solely for the purpose of executive privilege protection.
One of those things that's kept down in the personnel office and nothing's done on it. Well, Chapin doesn't have quite the same problems appearing that Colson will.
Yeah, but you have the same, you have the same problems that Chapin appearing versus Colson.
Well.
That would be such an obvious fraud to have both of those consultants. That would work. I think he's right. You'd have to make Chapin. You can't make Chapin a consultant. We've already said he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we wanted the separation. The question is, are you then going to let, as of now, the way they've interpreted the executive privilege is that you're not going to let Chapin testify anyway. Because it applies, the executive privilege applies by the former people. By the former people in relation to matters while they were here.
And the problem area is
that same thing would apply to Colson.
Well, yes. If Chuck were truly going to be doing nothing from this day.
That's right. He's concerned about what he's doing. Colson's concerned about what he's doing from now on. He would apply the consulting thing to what? To if he were called regarding actions taken now.
That's right.
That relate to what are the actions.
Well, he's going to be out stirring up, you know, counter news attacks and things of this nature. And
he's supposed to do that consulting the president.
No, but he's consulting, it's a, you know, wide open consultantship, doesn't mean he consults with you.
Your idea was just to put this in the drawer in case
put it in the drawer and
not decide that it would be a consultant without pay.
Not even tell Chuck, just tell Chuck something in the drawer and just say,
where is Chuck? I would tell him, he's not saying. The point would be to date it back last Saturday, so it's
continuous.
That is his consultant fee stop at the present time, but he's still available for consulting the various problems.
Yeah. Right.
I'm getting consulting.
Yes.
We have some of those. Go on. Well.
Speech drafted for Barry Goldwater, and there's enough material there to make a rather sensational speech. just by why the hell isn't somebody looking into what happened to President Nixon when during his campaign, look at these events. How do you explain these? What are the answers to these questions? There's enough of a thread. I've pulled all the information.
Also, the senator then should also present it to the Irvin Committee and demand that be included.
A letter.
He is a senator.
What I'm working on there is a letter to Senator Irvin saying, this has come to my attention, and why shouldn't this be a part of the inquiry? And he can spring out of 64 and then just quickly to 72, and we've got a pretty good speech where he tells me things can get out of that material.
Good.
So it's in the mill.
At least it's going to be done.
That's right.
Breaking down. It's like on the court thing. Watergate said, I'm going to comment on it.
repeat the fact that I, as far as Watergate matters concerned, there's no, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna comment on anything else, but anybody might know. So what you said, you agree with it?
Well, the bottom line on a draft that, before I come over for lunch was, well, if you have nothing to hide, Mr. President, here at the White House, why aren't you willing to spread on the record everything you know about it? Why doesn't the Dean report be made public? Why doesn't everyone come out? Why does Ziegler stand out there and Bob and weave and no comment? That's the bottom line.
All right, what do you say to that?
Well,
we are rushing information. We will.
I think, well, of course, we have.
We have
cooperated with the FBI in the investigation of Watergate. We will cooperate with the investigation of a proper investigation by the Senate.
We will make statements.
And indeed, we have nothing to hide all the time.
We have information. We have nothing to hide. So we have things we have to handle. Mm-hmm. What else can you do? I mean, you can't. You see, I can't be in a position basically hunkering down because we've got a lot of tough questions on Watergate and not go out.
True.
And talk about other issues because they're going to be there. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. You agree?
That's, I would agree. I think it's cyclic somewhat. I think after the Gray thing takes one course one way or the other, there will be a dead period of news on Watergate until the Irvin hearings start again.
Yeah.
This has obviously sparked the news again.
Savvy, but not mine. I don't like that.
No. Well, the thing on Sullivan that I had, Sullivan, who, as I told you, and had been prompting him, I said, Bill, I would like for my own use to have a list of some of the horribles that you're aware of. Well, he hasn't responded back, but he sent me a note yesterday saying that, John, I am willing at any time to testify to what I know if you want me to. What he has, we already know, has got a certain degree of, it's a dynamite situation what he's got already. The 68 bugging, the surveillance, the Goldwater
beetle. He sold 68 bugging, absorbed, he doesn't know
what
it was carried out.
That's right.
But at least you will say that.
Yes.
Tell him, for example.
I would think, well, I've never talked to Bill about this. I must be, I've never really gone into detail because he's always been very up close about it, but he is now getting to the point of, if we wanted him to do this, someone, and I don't think the White House should do it, should sit down with him and really take him through a cross-examination of what he does know and how strong it is, what he can substantiate, what he can. Well, that's probably, there's no one. That's the problem. Now, the other thing is, if we were going to use a tactic like this, let's say in the Gray hearings, where everything is capped that we're the political people and they're not, that Hoover was above reproach, which is just not accurate, total bullshit. The person who would destroy Hoover's image is going to be this man, Bill Sullivan. That's what's at stake there. Also, it's going to tarnish quite severely some of the FBI and a former president. He's going to lay it out, and it's just all hell is going to break loose once he does it. It's going to change the atmosphere of the Gray hearings. It's going to change the whole atmosphere of the Watergate hearings. Now, the risk...
How will it change?
Because it'll put them in context that a government instrument was used in the past for the most flagrant political purposes.
How's
it help us?
I
appreciate what you're doing. It's a red herring. It's what the public already believes. It just said people would just, I would say, react that, oh, Christ, more of that stuff. They're all, you know, they're all bad down there. Because it's a one-way street.
President
Pardon?
President. They may not play it.
It'd be difficult not to.
Why are Sullivan people willing to do this?
I think the quid pro quo with Sullivan is that he wants someday back in the Bureau very badly.
That's easy.
That's right.
Good job. He did this for the Bureau, and they want him back. There is a day.
Probably not. But I think that he could also possibly do what Bill Sullivan's desire in life is to set up a national or domestic national security intelligence system plan program. He says we're deficient. We've never been efficient since Hoover lost his guts several years ago. If you recall, he and Tom Houston worked on it. Tom Houston had your instruction to go out and do it, and the whole thing just crumbled. Now that's all Sullivan really wants. Even if we just put him off studying it for a couple of years, you put him out at the CIA or someplace else where he felt. I think there could be answers. I've never really.
No problem on Sullivan. We'll put him in. He's a valuable man. Now, with the FBI, they'd turn on him and piss on him.
There would be some effort at that. That's right. They would say he's disgruntled. He was canned by Hoover. He's angry. He's coming back. But that would kind of, I would think a lot of that would be lost in the shuffle of what he's laying out. I don't know if he's given me his best yet. I don't know if he's got more ammunition than what he's already told me. Those were just a couple off-the-cuff remarks.
That's what you said. Why do you think he is now telling you this? Why is he now?
Well, the way it came out is when the Time magazine article broke on the fact that the charge that the White House had directed the newsmen and White House staff people be subject to some sort of surveillance for national security reasons. I called, in tracking down what had happened, I called Sullivan. And I said, Bill, you better come over and talk to me about that and tell me what you know. I was calling him to really determine if he was a leak. That was one of the reasons I was curious to know where this might have come from, because he was the operative man at the Bureau at the time. He's the one who did it. He would not, you know, he came over and he was shocked and distraught and the like about learning this, because his own ass was like a crack on that one, frankly. And after going through his explanation of all of what had happened, he started volunteering this other thing. He said, John, what, this is the only thing I can think of during this administration that has any taint of political use. But it doesn't really bother me because it was a national security purpose. These people were, there was sensitive material that was getting out. It was getting out to reporters.
What, the order?
That's right.
Of course. Hell, we never ordered anything except all of that Vietnam War.
That's right.
That's what it was.
But he said, John, what does bother me is that you all have been portrayed as politically using.
We never did.
And we never have. He said the Eisenhower administration didn't either. The only times that he can recall that there's been a real political use has been during Democratic tenure. And I said, for example, Bill, what are you talking about? And he told me this example of Walter Jenkins' affair with Deloach and
Ford. Why did I get the issue presented?
Well, it would, one, because you're trying, the first approach would be not to destroy the beer, not to tarnish the name. It's going to leak out, quite obviously. If it doesn't, we can make sure it did. If Sullivan went up to Eastland Cove and just said, or Harusa, I would think they would say, going back down to the Department of Justice where you work, and let's not start all this.
Suppose another thing after the race is whether he's going to never arrest him or anybody on that committee. Who is the tiger of the committee on our side?
Gurney has been good. Gurney was good during the IPP hearing. He'll study. He'll get prepared.
Excuse me, maybe he was not you.
hold up Gray's confirmation until the Watergate hearings are completed.
Well, that's great.
That's the vehicle.
The best of both worlds, as far as I'm
concerned. That's right.
Gray, in my view, should not be the FBI, not be any character of laws, or intelligence laws, because he's going to be too much like Klein. He's going to go after the hell of the hearing. He will not be a good director, as far as we're concerned.
I think that's probably true. He'll be a very suspect director. Not that I don't think Pat won't do what we want. I read him a little differently than Vic in that regard. But he's still keeping close touch with me. He's calling me. He's giving me his private line. We talk at night. How do you want me to handle this? So on and so forth. So he's still playing in tight. And still being involved. But I think he can't do it. He's going to be under such surveillance by his own people, what every move he's making. That'll be a difficult thing for Pat. Not that Pat wouldn't want to still play ball. That he may not be able to.
I agree.
Pat has already gotten himself in a situation where he's got this Mark Felt as his number two man. These other people are surrounding him. You put a guy like Jerry Wilson in there, he could just, wipe this. Say, gentlemen, I'm putting my own team in. I'm going to bring people in. I've met around the country that are good office directors, Sachs out of Chicago, wherever. Just put his own team together for the headquarters office. Gray's already been locked in as to major personnel decisions. I wouldn't be surprised to see that occur, that they say that they cannot go forward with the Gray hearing because of Watergate.
Where would they be done? John, what?
Could happen. It certainly be voted on first in the committee, in the judiciary committee. Question is then whether it'll be put on the calendar by the leadership. I assume that that's
the leadership might determine that we will not put it on the calendar. That's
right.
And we would then grab them and say, I will not wait that long.
And gentlemen, this is damaging the leadership of the FBI, and I'll have to withdraw based on this. What would be nice for all would be to get Gray voted out of the committee with a positive vote, not to get him out of committee, and then lock in that limbo there.
What is more of a judgment about the
he says it's a piece of dynamite. He said it depends, and we would both agree that it's the way it would be done would be the secret, whether it was done. But this is the sort of thing we could just leap out and do. It has to be very carefully thought through. Have to decide in advance, should the White House not be involved, or should we be involved? If we're going to play with it, we're going to probably have to say that we're involved and structure it in a way that there's nothing improper with our involvement.
Difficulty with the White House being involved is that if we're involved, this is not Johnson.
That's right.
That's why it really ought to be just.
I suppose the answer is saying, just to have him to say to him, you've got, this is something like you've intimated a few things to me. The proper place to take that information is to the Senate Judiciary Committee, or to the Attorney General, possibly. And have to take it down to me. Or is that too close to the President itself?
If he takes it to the committee, it's better. If the committee's conducting a hearing, he's involved. The way that he works for the Attorney General.
Sure. If he takes it to Kalani is going to say, Bill, just don't do it because you're going to take Deloach's name down with it. Deloach is a friend of ours.
Well, sure.
Something I've always questioned.
No, he's a friend of ours. Let's face it. I'm worried about that, certainly.
Well, that's something I will. I think I'm going to get to kick around a bit more. First of all, I've left it. It just has to be thought through every inch of the way. It came there late yesterday afternoon.
Sure,
it was not. Bob said, when I talked to him, he said, quite excited about it. As Ehrlichman said, gave a very good old probably not going to rush anything on this, just that we've got a little bond here that we might want to drop at one point down the road. Maybe the formability is something totally out of the committee's context between the Gray confirmation hearings and the Watergate hearings, maybe letting go over U.S. News, or who knows what it would be, but we ought to consider every option. We've got it and see if we
can. Rather than doing it in the hearing. Press, and that will force the hearing to call it. That's another way you can do it, is having someone to
give an interview.
Give an interview. I would do it. You actually do it. We would not do it. Wires and Scott or something. I respect him. Some kid, they said, I don't think that anyone is going to care about somebody in the Ukraine, a peace group that was demonstrating against the president, particularly after the war. You know, do you think so?
No.
Anyone would care about that. What happened to this Texas guy that took his money back to you?
All hell broke loose for him after. This is Allen.
No, no, no. Allen, yeah.
Allen, not Duncan. There were two.
Duncan, who?
Duncan had some. All hell broke loose for Allen for this reason. He, the money apparently originally came out of a subsidiary of one of Allen's corporations down in Mexico. Went to a lawyer in Mexico who put it down as a fee billed to the subsidiary. Then the lawyer, the Mexican lawyer, sent it back into the States, and then came back up here. But the weakness of it is the Mexican lawyer, one, didn't have a legitimate fee. Two, it could be corporate contribution. So Allen wanted, and Allen had personally put a note up with the corporation to cover it. Now, Allen is meanwhile having problems with his wife, and divorce is pending, and tax problems, so he wanted the money back.
The only problem I saw there was where he put it off and laid it off, and finally didn't last. The fact that it was being used for Watergate.
That's, I don't know why that went in the letter. It wasn't used for the Watergate. That's the interesting thing. No, it was not. What happened is, these Mexican checks came in. They were given to Gordon Liddy, said, "What are we? Why don't you get these cash?" Gordon Liddy, in turn, took them down to this fellow Barker in Florida and said, "If you cash these Mexican checks," and so that's how they went through Barker's bank account back in here. They could have been just as easily cashed at Riggs Bank. There was just nothing wrong with the checks. Why all that rigmarole? It's just like a lot of other things that happened over there. God knows why it was all done. It was totally unnecessary, and it was money that was not directly involved in the Watergate. It wasn't a wash operation to get money back to Liddy and the like.
Who's going to be the worst witness?
Sloan.
Worst witness.
Without a doubt, he's
scared.
He's scared. He's weak. He has a sort of a compulsion to cleanse his soul by confession. Now we're giving him a lot of stroking, telling him to do a beautiful job. The funny thing is, the fellow goes down to the courthouse here before Sirica, testifies as honestly as he can testify, and Sirica looks around and calls him a liar. He just, Sloan can't win. So, Kalmbach has been dealing with Sloan. Sloan's restless, needs a job, trying to. Kalmbach has done a lot of that. The person that will have the greatest problem with as a result of Sloan's testimony is Kalmbach and Sam, so they're working closely with him to make sure that this better.
Kalmbach
will
be a good witness. Oh. No way, Kalmbach's been true.
Kalmbach has borne up very well. In fact, I decided he may be.
Kalmbach, of course, is somewhat embarrassing. He is an AC lawyer.
He's sensitive on that point. He saw a briefing, he saw a transcript of a briefing where Ron was saying, well, he's really not at the top of the right nomenclature. This personal attorney, and Herb said, well, gee whiz, I don't know if Ron knows, but all I do. And I said, Herb, well, don't worry about it.
Well, what I mean is, listen, I don't care about it, but I mean, it's just the fact that it's played that way as if he's talking to me
on the phone. I know that.
I don't talk to him. I see her once a year and you're seeing income tax returns.
That's right.
I'm sure he handles their assignment of any property and all the rest, but he isn't a lawyer in the sense most people have a lawyer.
No. No. Ultimately, he didn't even handle the estate plan. He's done some, dovetailing on it.
Like, okay, but anyway, we don't want to back off of him.
No.
But anyway,
he's solid. He's solid.
He will, how does he tell a story? Got a pretty hard road
to hoe when he stands. He'll be good. He's going over. Herb is the kind of guy who will check not once, not twice on his story, not three times, but probably 50 to 100 times, literally, he will go over it. He will know it. There won't be a hole in it. He'll have thought of, he'll do his own Q&A. He'll be, have people cross-examine him 10 ways. He will be ready, as John Mitchell will be ready, as Maurice Sands will be ready. He's studying. Someone will be the worst witness. I think Ruger will be a good witness. Stella Park Porter will be a good witness. They've already been through it. They've been through grand jury. They've been through trial. They did well. And then, of course, people around here will be witnesses.
They won't be witnesses.
Won't be witnesses.
Which I think we've got to get across that Ziegler and all of his briefings for discussing and saying, we will provide information, that is not the question, it's how it's being argued. We will not furnish it in a formal session, but we need to break down the privilege, period. Do you agree that?
I agree. I agree. I've always thought that's the bottom line, and I think that's the good thing about what's happening in the Gray hearings right now. If we, they send letter down with specific questions. I send back written interrogatories, sworn. You know, as a lawyer, that you can handle written interrogatories where cross-examination is another ballgame. They can, you can make a person look like they're inaccurate, even if they're trying to tell the truth.
Well, not really.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You know, I don't face anything.
Can be artfully, accurately answered and give the full information.
And there to be totally full. Can't be totally. Well, what about the sentencing? When the hell was he going to sentence?
We thought he was going to sentence last Friday. No one knows what in the world Sirica is doing. It's getting to be a long time now, it frankly is. And no one really has a good estimation of how he will sentence. There's some feeling that he will sentence Liddy the heaviest. Liddy's already in jail. He's in Danbury. He wants to start serving so he can get good time going. But Hunt, he'll probably be very fair with. Liked Hunt. He liked Hunt. He thought Hunt was being open with him and candid. Hunt gave a statement in open court that he didn't know of any higher-ups involved, and Hunt didn't put him through the rigors of trial. Hunt was a beaten man, lost his wife. Still, they tried to move and have him severed from the trial, and Hunt didn't cause a lot of problems. Pittman was cooperative, whereas Liddy played the heavy in the trial. His lawyer raised all the objections and the like, and embarrassed the judge for some in-chambers things he said.
But Liddy's going to appeal the sentence.
Liddy's going to appeal the decision, the trial. He'll appeal that.
And the trial.
And there's an outside chance that this judge has gone so far in his zeal to be a special
witness.
Incredible statement.
To me, incredible.
Commenting on witnesses' testimony before the jury, just incredible. Incredible. So there may be a mistrial. I don't, there may be a reversible error, I don't know.
Cubans
will probably be thought of as hired hands and nowhere near the sentences of the lady, I would think. Not all of them. Barker, the least Cuban, may get more than the others. It's hard to say. I just don't have any idea. Sirica's a strange man. He's known as a hanging judge. That's right. He stopped. He just stopped. Now, the other thing, Sirica, there was some indication that Sirica might be putting together a panel at the system down there now based on this informal agreement where a sentencing judge, convenes a panel of his own to take advice from. If Sirica were being shrewd, he just might get himself a panel. take their recommendation.
When will the incurred thing be, I think, the fan host?
Well, I would say that the best indications we have now is public hearings will probably start about the 1st of May. Now, they will, you know, there'll be a big, probably bang of interest initially. We have no idea how they'll proceed yet. We do have sources to find that out other than Baker. Incidentally, Kleinies had called Urban again, returned the call. Urban is going to see him this week with Baker. That's
on my hearing's version. Public hearings, I don't think, though, I don't experience it. I guess it's I think they could get through about 3 weeks of those, and I think it begins to be around somewhere. How do you agree?
No, I
don't. IPG went longer, but that was a different thing.
When I told Bob several months ago, I hope they don't think about it yet. He said the way they can have those hearings and do a masterful job on this is we hold one hearing a week on Thursday mornings. They cover it live. That way you get live coverage that day, you get the networks that night, the national magazines that week, the weekend wrap-ups, and you can stretch this thing out for a year.
They should insist on our members. They have an issue and insist, let's get it over with and go through the 5-day session.
Yeah. Well, see, you know, they're not that, I don't think they're that perceptive to figure out.
Well, so be it. This is a, I mean, I know some of the new summer candidates really went along. Very close to, I understand, great crisis in the conference, presidency, and so forth. Very well.
Well, the best way to.
How much?
Pardon?
How much of a crisis? I mean, it'll be, I'm just being rhetorical. Everything is a crisis. We have to screw around with this thing for a while. But it's a critical milestone. We named the crisis among the upper intellectual types, the assholes, you know, that we get sunk to, sunk our own to public and Democrats and the rest. Average people can be in much of a crisis unless it affects them.
Well, I think after the Urban hearings, they're going to find so much, there'll be some new revelations. I don't think that the thing will get out of hand. I have no reason to believe it will.
Yeah.
he was tradition in what he relayed, and but John is as tough as nails.
Well, he's
going to go in and stonewall and say, I don't know anything about what you're talking about. He's already done it twice, you know, in interviews.
I guess he should. Why? Well, we can't call that justice. We can't call that.
Well, it's a personal loyalty with him. He doesn't want it any other way. He didn't have to be told. He didn't have to be asked. It just is something that he found is the way he wanted to handle the situation.
But he knew. He knew about what God did. Well, that's the problem with Bob's case. It's not true. Strong worked for him.
They would have one hell of a time proving that Strawn had knowledge of it. Well, Ritter and Liddy.
Ah, I see. The other weak link for Bob is Ritter, too. Mm-hmm. He had an IRA and so forth.
That's Fires and Mitchell, too.
Where do you see Coulson coming into it? You think he could do quite a bit, and yet he could know a great deal about a lot of other things and not have a lot about this. I don't know.
Well, I've never...
He sure as hell knew how that we know him. It's very close to him.
Chuck has told me that he had no knowledge, specific knowledge, of the Watergate incident before it occurred. There have been tidbits that I've raised with Chuck. I've not played any games. And I said, Chuck, I have indicated to
play.
I don't
know. The lawyer's got to know everything.
That's right. And I said, Chuck, people have said that you were involved in this, involved in that, involved in this, and that's not true, so on and so forth. I think that Chuck has knowledge something was going on over there. A lot of people around here acknowledge something was going on over there. They didn't have any knowledge of the details, of the specifics of the whole thing.
You know, it must be an indication of the fact that they had contact for Pickens. Because actually, anybody, either Chuck or Bob, was always important to me about what they're going on. If they ever got any information, it certainly told me that we got some information. But they never
got
that. They never report. What was the matter? Did they never get anything out of
them? I don't think they ever got anything.
It's a dry hole.
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
And they were just really getting started.
Yeah.
Bob
was a blood time since came out. In fact, we got some questions about this or that or the other, but I think it's about the convention that they were planning. So I assume that must have been a great, I mean, not great, but Segretti.
No.
I must have known about Segretti.
Well, Segretti really wasn't involved in intelligence gathering to speak of at all.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, he wasn't. He was out just...
Intelligence gathering intelligence?
That was Liddy and his outfit.
I see. A part of Watergate.
That's right. That was part of their whole... Watergate was part of intelligence gathering.
And this is perfect. I guess that's...
What happened is a...
That was
incredible. That's right. That's right.
They would mention Bob would have allowed this kind of operation to be in the committee.
I don't think he knew it was there.
Okay. I don't think Mitchell knew about this.
Oh, no. The numbers, I don't think he knew that people... I think he knew that Liddy was out intelligence gathering. I don't think he knew that Liddy would use a fellow like McCord, for God's sake, who worked for the committee. I can't believe that. I don't think Liddy knew about Hunt either.
So Mitchell says, I hired this fellow, and I told him to have the talking for that. Maybe.
Sure.
Gruder says the same thing.
Gruder says that, as he did on trial, he said, it was, well, of course, my name has been dragged in as the guy who sent Liddy over there, which is an interesting thing. That's a, something. That's right. They said, well, what happened is, Gruder asked for a lawyer. He wanted to hire my deputy over there for general counsel. Anyway, I can't give him a number. No, Liddy never worked for me. And it was Philip Fred Feely and worked for me. And I said, I can't get him up. He said, Gruder said, well, find me a lawyer. I said, I'll be happy to look around. Checked around the White House. Probe said, Liddy might be the man to do, to go over there. He'd be a hell of a good lawyer. He's written some wonderful legal opinions over here for me. I'm a good lawyer. So I relayed that to Gruder.
Well, that was Liddy's step.
He's a strange man, Mr. President.
Strange or strong?
Strange and strong. His loyalty, I think, is just beyond the pale. He's just nothing.
He's the other side.
Oh, absolutely. He's strong. He really is.
What about the hangout thing? No, will you take that as a private file, please? And we go over, I don't need to take the briefcase to the other side. This guy just has some pine. Just a question. Is it too late to crank and go the hangout road? Yes, it is.
I think it is. I hear the hangout road.
The hangout road is going to be rejected. I somehow understand it.
It was kicked around Bob and I, and
I know Earth and all this stuff.
Well, I think I convinced him why that he wouldn't want to hang out either. There's a certain domino situation here. If some things start going, a lot of other things are going to start going. And there's going to be a lot of problems if everything starts falling. So there are dangers, Mr. President. I'd be less than candid if I didn't tell you that there are. There's a reason for us not everyone going up and testifying.
I see. Oh, no, I didn't even go up and testify.
I mean, they're just starting to hang out. There's a share of our story.
Including the story of PR voting somewhere. Here is the story, the true story about Watergate.
They would never believe it. That's the point. The point, the two things they're working on Watergate.
Who is they?
The press,
the Democrats,
the intellectuals, the
backwards.
Right. They would never buy as far as one White House involvement in Watergate, which I think there is just none for that incident that occurred over in the Democratic National Committee headquarters. People just here did not know that that was going to be done. I think there are some people who saw the proofs of it, but that's another story. I'm talking about the criminal conspiracy to go in there. The other thing is that the Segretti thing, if you hang that out, they wouldn't believe that. They wouldn't believe that Chapin acted on his own to put his old friend Kit Segretti in to be a Dick Tuck on somebody else's campaign. They would have to paint it as something more sinister, something more involved, a part of a general plan.
Sure, sinister.
No.
Segretti saw it as a bit sinister.
It's quite humorous, as a matter of fact.
As a matter of fact, it's just a bunch of crap. It's just the type of stuff that we never objected to. You don't object to such damn things. So, anyway. On and on. Oh, I tell you, it's the last gasp of
the only thing they have to squeal on.
Squeal on that, perhaps inflation, but that will end. Why are they going to squeal and then they're around? They're having a hell of a time, you know. They have to help get done in the election. Here we are. We're going to Watergate around in this town. Not so much our opponents, but basically it's the media. I mean, it's the establishment. The establishment is dying, and so they've got to show that after some other significant successes we've had with foreign policy and in the election, they've got to show, well, it just is wrong, because this is, because it's, they're trying to use this to scare the whole thing.
And that's why I keep coming back with this fellow Sullivan, who could, and could change the picture.
How would it change it, though?
Well,
by saying you're another or something.
That's, yeah, but here's another, and it happens to be Democrats. You're, I just
if you did Kennedy in it too, I'd be a little more pleased.
Well, let me tell you something that lurks at the bottom of this whole thing.
Yeah.
If in going after Segretti, right, they go after Kalmbach bank records, you recall that some time back, maybe you kind of didn't know about this, right, Russell, that right after Chappaquiddick, somebody was put up there to start observing. Within 6 hours, it was a charge. That man watched that. He was there for every second, Chappaquiddick, for a year and almost 2 years. He worked for Jack Caulfield, who was originally on John's
staff. Oh, I heard of Caulfield.
He worked for Caulfield originally, and then he worked for, and Caulfield worked for John, and when I came over, I inherited Caulfield and the Savasil on the same thing. Well, if they get to those bank records between, they start on July of 69 through June of 71, and they say, what are these about? Who is this fellow that's up in New York that you paid? There comes Chappaquiddick with a vengeance. This guy is a 20-year detective on the New York State or New York City Police Department. He is ready to disprove and to show that everything from
bribes. We all consider that wrong.
Well, if they get to it, it's going to come out, and the whole thing is going to turn around on them. I mean, if Kennedy knew that Bearcraft was walking in,
how do we know? Why would you get it out anyway?
Well, it's sort of safe.
Does he have any record? Is he good?
He is probably the most knowledgeable man in the country. He can't, you know, there's certain things he runs up against walls when they close the. And they close the records down, things he can't get, but he can ask all of the questions and give some, many of the answers as a 20-year detective. But we don't want to surface him right now, but if they'd ever surface, this is what they'll get.
How will Kalmbach explain the entire funds.
He had money left over from pre-convention.
Are they going to investigate those funds?
They're funds that were quite legal. There's nothing illegal with those funds.
How can they investigate them?
They can't. What would occur, you see, is they would stumble into this in going back to, say, 71 on Kalmbach's bank records. They've already asked for a lot of his bank records in connection with Segretti. As to how he paid Segretti. Well, yeah, but this fellow worked in the 71 on this. He was up there, he talked to everybody in that town. He's the one who caused a lot of embarrassment for Kennedy already by saying he went up there as a newspaper man. So why aren't you checking this? Why aren't you looking there and pointing the press's attention to things? Apparently the guy did a masterful job. I've never been at the full report.
Well, I'm back to the Sullivan thing. You will let him know.
I'll see if we have something that's viable. And if it's...
In other words, if you talk to Sullivan again?
Oh, yes. Yes, I plan
to. Why the hell did you get him in and talk to him?
Well, I asked him last night. He said, John, give me a day or so to get all my recollections together. Right. That was yesterday, so I thought I would call him this evening and say, Bill, I just like to know.
See, the fact you talk to him will be coming up. So maybe the best thing is to say, all right, turn here, and you say, he's turned this over. You said, we will not handle it. And anyway, it gets to the committee, aren't they, and say, the White House turns over information on the FBI. That's it. I don't know how the press can get it down there.
Well, that's what I think I can kick around with Dick Moore, and I do very well at just bouncing these things back and forth and coming up with something that we don't have to be embarrassed about.
I story. Like a star. We're just trying to handle the story. I mean, a real bust in the FBI. And then the committee member demanded you, for example, on this basis, could call the attorney and say, now look, we're on something very hot here. I can just tell you, I'm going to tell you anymore. Go after it, forget you ever had this call. And he goes. It seems to me that that's a very effective way to get it out.
The other thing is, I don't think Sullivan would give up the White House. Sullivan, if I could add one liability in Sullivan here, is that's his knowledge of these earlier things that occurred.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
Well, we should know. Well, he said, I didn't know the political work at all. My work in the Nixon administration was solely in the national security.
That's right.
And that is totally true.
That's right.